Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Well, good morning to you all. How are you doing? Man, I celebrate you, Pastor James and Debbie, and your leadership here at the downtown campus, but for Central, it's really wonderful. We made some great changes and we're excited about the future. It's really amazing what God is doing. I'm so happy to be with you in the building today to share God's word. For those joining online, on air, our family there, you are absolutely welcome. We do pray and hope that one day you'll come. For those of you who have never been at any of our locations, man, would love to see you, give you a big hug. I know online is great, on air is great, but nothing can come close to being in the room. Because then there you get to connect with real people. But I want to thank you for being a part of it. There are some who are actually in other countries, and this is your church service. You are absolutely welcome. Talking about missio, by the way, missio was something that was catalyzed and started through Watoto and a partnership with One Hope and Southeastern University. I was with our founder, Pastor Gary. We were at a meeting and the conversation was around, where is God moving and how can we prepare for the move of God? And it became very clear that there is a great move of God on the continent of Africa. And you already heard. And so right now, the global center of Christianity is actually in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. And so the thought was, okay, if that is true, how can we prepare for the great end time harvest? Because that's where God's moving, especially looking at the fact that Africa is young. And one of the keys was, let's provide godly education. And then the conversation became, many young Africans want to go to universities outside of Africa because they think they're going to learn a lot. And that is true, but some of them get lost. And so how can we provide high quality education at an affordable cost, yet is grounded on mission and vision? That was the creation of missio. And the first church that explored this is Watoto Church. And so, hey, this is really for you. It's about you being equipped to be that kind of leader that will bring transformation, real transformation, and be part of bringing healing to the cities and the nation. That's what it is about. So please do take time and go to the tables and sign up. Now, talking about the marketplace, a member of the church many years ago here said to me, Pastor, I would like you to visit me at my business place. I want you to come and see my shop and I want you to pray with me. And so he insisted and I decided, okay, I'm going to come. We set up a day and I went down to downtown, to one of the big malls there to his shop very early in the morning. And as I went there, he was very excited that I got to visit him. Actually, he was of Pakistani origin. So he said, Pastor, I needed you to come here so you can pray with me and just for blessing on business. Because, you know, my neighbor there invites their priest. The other one has another person who comes. And when I walked through the mall, there were pots. You find pineapples. You find candles. I mean, it was crazy. Business in Kampala is no longer about economics. It is very spiritual. And so I get there. So he said, since they bring their people, I also brought mine. I brought that was his mindset. But listen, those same people who have pots and candles and charms in their shops come to church on Sunday. This reflects a very, very sad state over our city, our country, and even the world we live in. We live in a world of mixed spirituality. Mixed spirituality. So how can we be able to discern and ensure that we don't get caught up in mixed spirituality? And as I share today, I know some of the things I'll say may offend some of you. Some of the things may make you quite uncomfortable, but it is God's word. And God loves you. God wants the best for you and your family. He has a beautiful plan for your life. And this mixture of spirituality and the mixture of God's will destroy you. And so please, open up your heart. And as I share God's word, if you need to repent and turn away, and that's going to happen for many of you, repent of all of that. Return to God. Renounce all those other gods. And have a renewed commitment that Jesus alone is sufficient. Because that's the real crux of the matter. Is Jesus, is the God of the Bible that we believe in, truly sufficient and enough? That's the real question. And that's what I want to address today. Would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's word? I'm going to read a portion of scripture which was a direct, word from God himself, speaking to the children of Israel, giving them instructions for life in a way that would honor him. And this is from Exodus 20. It is the chapter that captures what we know as the 10 commandments. Now, please understand, it's not the 10 suggestions. And those 10 commandments are not things of the Old Testament. It is the same God today. Because some people say, oh, that is the Old Testament. It is the same principles that apply today. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And this is what I do if you do that. I punish the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And now, Lord, would you bless the reading of your word? Speak to us, I pray, individually, as families, and as a nation, and even as a country. Speak to us as your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Discerning mixed spirituality. What do we mean mixed spirituality? The theological term for that is syncretism. And simply, it means this. It is blending faith in God with reliance on false gods, on demonic powers, or spiritual practices that contradict scripture. Mixed spirituality is saying yes to Jesus and saying yes to other gods. That's what it is about. It is mixing Christianity with other practices like witchcraft, horoscopes, New Age practices, occultism. It is a mixture of all those things. That's what mixed spirituality is. But please understand, Mixed spirituality is not innocent. Behind mixed spirituality is idolatry. We don't like to be identified as people practicing idolatry. But the moment you are mixing practices, listen, my friends, it is called idolatry. There are three types of idolatry. There is direct idolatry, very easy to discern, where you see people outrightly worshiping other gods. That one is easy to discern. You know it. A witch is a witch. It's very clear. An idol is an idol. Then there is the second one, which is indirect idolatry. A little tougher to discern. That one usually hides itself in cultural practices, some traditions. And we embrace them, but please understand, some of those practices are not innocent. Culture has good things, but also has bad things. So some practices like names, giving names. What happens when you give birth to twins? How do you get initiated into manhood? And all these different associations and practices that we have. Listen, they are not innocent. Some of that is indirect idolatry. But the third one is the one where you actually need spirit-empowered discernment. I'll call it religious idolatry. This is the kind that uses the name of the Lord. And it's the one that many Christians get trapped into. Because everything looks like it is about Jesus. But behind it is an evil spirit. It's idolatry. Hiding in the name of Jesus. Christianized, done in the name of Jesus, very subtle and difficult to discern. Please understand, not everything that screams and shouts and claims to be done in the name of Jesus is actually honoring Jesus. That's the one that sometimes is hard for us as believers to discern. Now I'll talk a little bit more about that. But why do people end up mixing faiths? How come people who know Jesus also start to add these other things? I'll give you a few reasons. One is impatience. People want shortcuts to break through. So they either go to the witch or go to a man of God who tends to pitch themselves as God's assistant. Fear. Fear, it's amazing what people do because of the spirit of fear. Get into mixed spirituality, looking for protection. So what do? You carry beads around. You wear beads or something because you're seeking some form of protection. Take things and put them in your home. Bury stuff. Put things under your chair at work. Because you're fearful. Oh, I'm seeking the gods to protect me. Greed. Greed drives people. Because lust for power and money, they want more and more. And because they want it, they're trying witchcraft. I went to pray for somebody in parliament. I walked in that place. Man, you could sense just this. You could smell it in there. Culture and tradition. That's our culture. We gotta do it. Ignorance. Some people just don't know. But there's another one which is a side of ignorance. It's called deception. And this one is one that I encounter many times with so many innocent believers, but that they're really ignorant. This is what Satan tells you. He deceives you that there is more to what you already know. There's a certain deep truth you're missing. So you need to go deeper. And in that seeking of going deeper, you begin to be controlled by a man of God or a woman of God. You start inviting them into your homes. You start doing all those kinds of things. They are the ones beginning to tell you what God wants you to do. Listen, you are already mixed up because you've left Jesus. Now, a man or woman is deciding your life. You follow them, you go to their fellowships. I mean, you are more committed to them than to the body of Christ and to Christ himself. The cycle of mixed spirituality usually starts this way. Because the question underneath is Jesus, is God of the Bible sufficient? That's the real underlying question. And if you have some concerns and doubts, that's how it starts. It starts by you doubting. Is Jesus truly sufficient? The moment doubt kicks in, it will lead you to a place of disobedience, where you now start entertaining other things and other gods. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. Satan created doubt in their minds, and then they disobeyed God. And from the point of disobedience, you will begin to even, because this is what happens when you disobey. You disobey a little bit, nothing happens much. You start thinking, hey, oh wow, maybe this thing is okay. Now I have double insurance. I have Jesus plus these things. And nothing seems to happen, but God is patient. He's waiting. And then if you continually disobey, you reach a point where you will begin to despise God. That's where you can boldly go to the witch on Monday and be coming from church on Sunday. And boldly have that authority to actually despise God publicly and elevate other gods. Once you reach there, the next level is you'll actually forsake God, you'll desert him, and the end thereof is death. Please understand, mixed spirituality will never give you what you're looking for. It will always result in destruction. It leads to being enemies with God. You're separated from God because God cannot share his glory with anything else. It will expose you to demonic influence. Mixed spirituality, my friends, invites generational curses. That's what we read. So we want to explore this in the time that we have. This subject of mixed spirituality, so we can be discerning by going into the Bible. And this is what I'm going to do. We're going to explore what mixed spirituality looked like before Jesus in the Old Testament. I'll focus on the children of Israel. We will also explore what mixed spirituality looked like after Jesus had ascended in the early church. How Paul dealt with mixed spirituality, and we are going to end up with Jesus himself, who is sufficient, so that never again will you try to mix Jesus with other things. Let's start with the Old Testament. Focusing on the children of Israel, and we already read from there, Exodus 20. Three important phases in the life of the children of Israel I want you to keep in mind, and they relate to us as well. First is their bondage in Egypt, and then their journey in the desert, and then the promised land where God was taking them to. Three different phases, and I want you to see how mixed spirituality worked at it. When they were in Egypt, they were exposed to idolatry. Because the Egyptians worshipped all kinds of gods. And for 400 years, that's all the children of Israel knew, idolatry. And God had to deliver them from that kind of setting to send them to a promised land. So how does God deliver them? He sends Moses. And how does God introduce himself? He introduces himself as the I Am, meaning I'm the all-sufficient one. And he delivered them. How did he do it? He sent 10 plagues. Do you know every plague was God judging the gods of Egypt? Every one of them, God was saying, I am sovereign. I am over all these gods in Egypt. You can trust me as the all-sufficient one. So he delivered them. And when they reached the Red Sea, what did God do? He demonstrated he has power over nature, that even if the military might of Pharaoh is coming after you, I can deal with it. I am sovereign. So he delivers them. So Egypt, deliverance. In the desert, God gives them a command concerning idolatry and mixed spirituality. That's what we just read. You shall have no other God before me. The first four commandments, literally, God is saying, hey, don't exchange me for anything else, and don't use my name in vain. Do you know after God gives those 10 commandments, he repeats the one on idolatry? Go and read Exodus 20. He first says, you will not have any God before me. And then he continues later, he says, you won't have another God alongside me. Because some of us, we are very sharp. We will not put another God before God, but we'll put some besides him. God says, you won't have any besides me. That was the command. So in the desert, he gave them commands. In Egypt, he delivered them. For the promised land, he warned them. He said, when you get to the promised land, do not mix yourselves with those people and their gods. He gives them a warning. In Exodus 34, verses 12, he says to them, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will become a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, have nothing to do with them. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. What was God saying? That you're going to a land where it's filled with idol worship. Don't get into covenant with them. Don't mix them. Do you know in the desert, after God gave them these commands, Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days, the people became impatient. And they told Aaron, we need a God, we need to touch something. The first idol that was created by the children of Israel was after the commands. They made a calf, a golden image of a calf, and they even danced and celebrated and said, this calf is the one that delivered us. Every form of idolatry starts in the heart. You doubt. You disbelieve that Jesus is sufficient. And you, because we were created to worship and we know that we are not sufficient, we create something else. Every form of idolatry is man created. Created. If it's not created by man, we worship what is created. Mountains and lakes and trees. The consequence for that, 3,000 died. When the children of Israel went to the promised land, for some of them, when they compromised. Now listen, making a treaty with those tribes, here's what God was saying. It means getting into covenant. You sort of begin to say, but they are okay to do what they do. So let them worship their God. We will just also worship ours. And in the process, let's just leave. Coexist in covenant. God warns them that before you know it, you'll give your children to be married to those people, and their hearts will be drawn away. Do you know the entire Old Testament the sin of idolatry kept creeping in the children of Israel. It's the sin that led them to get into captivity because they started to entertain other gods. Listen, friends, mixed spirituality will get you into destruction. You can never be blessed by mixing spirituality, faith in God with others. Never. You can never be blessed. The first king that introduced witchcraft in the kingdom of Israel, when they asked for a king, Saul was the first king. And then David succeeded Saul. David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to build a house for God. But there God said, no, you want your son Solomon will. Solomon, who built the house of God and dedicated the house of God, introduced idolatry to the kingdom. You know how? He married women from all these tribes. His war strategy was to maintain peace. The way he maintained peace was making sure he married all his enemies' wives. And those women lured Solomon to set up altars for demonic worship. Do you know what happened? Solomon died a miserable man and ended up splitting the kingdom. Mixed spirituality will get you nowhere. Solomon introduced it. There is one king who institutionalized it. His name is Jeroboam. He was the king of the northern kingdom called Israel and Judah. They split. Now, the temple was in Judah. The people who needed to worship, the children of Israel always wanted to worship Yahweh. They wanted to worship God. And they would go to the temple, to Jerusalem, to worship. And so because the kingdom had split, Jeroboam didn't like the idea of them going to worship God. And so he came up with a good innovation in his head. He said, guys, let me make it easy for you. He set up two calves. Idols, and said, now from today, these are the idols that represent the gods who delivered us from Egypt. Don't go too far. Come here. He even set up a similar system to the one of the temple. He had priests who were facilitating the worship of those idols. Please understand, my friends, there are things which look like church, but it is idol worship. It looks like that's how we did it. But it was idol worship. Why? People wanted the shortcut. Enough of the Old Testament. Let's go to the New. But Jeroboam's sin became repeated by many kings. And if you read the Bible, you'll keep hearing these other kings. They repeated the sin of Jeroboam. The sin of Jeroboam. The sin of Jeroboam. Over 21 times. That's the sin of mixing spirituality, idols, and God. One of the key masters at it was Ahab and Jezebel, his wife. Jezebel was such a witch, she even had prophets in the palace. It was no longer just worship here. I am now going to even pay. Do we see some of that happening in our world today? Where kings are inviting witches and the witches are on their payrolls. Not new. It's there. The end is always a mess. Let's go to the New Testament briefly, and then I'll go to how we can be discerning, because our time's going. Now, in the New Testament, Paul addresses mixed spirituality. And we see that in the book of Acts, but we also see that through some of the letters he wrote. He wrote the letter of Romans to Christians who were in Rome. Rome was the capital city of the Roman Empire, the great Roman Empire, where it was all powerful, Roman conquest and all of that. Just like any city today in the capital, I mean, that's where power is, that's where economy is, that's where all those things are, but that's where you find a cocktail of spirituality. In Rome, they worshipped Roman gods. They had Roman gods. And also in Rome, they worshipped the emperor. They worshipped the emperor. They considered him semi-divine. And for others, divine. They thought, oh, this is like God. He is like, I mean, and for some of the kings, they actually thought they were divine. Today we see the same thing. Some men of God and women of God present themselves as semi-divine. People carry their pictures. Hello? People go to them to tell them what their futures should look like and what they should do. People bow down to them. Kiss their shoes. It is an extreme honor that is only for God, and they give it to man or woman. Some, you can't talk to them unless you're on their knees. It is so bad today that some of them, if you address them as Julius, they get offended. Oh, wow. Do you know the highest title in the Bible for children of God? Brother, sister. Because we've been made one in Christ. But it gets to some people's heads. It gets into their heads. And they want everybody to honor them. That's what was, well, that was the thing happening in Rome. These are capital city issues. Then the other thing that was happening in Rome is they, because it was full of power and the economy, they wanted to do what they wanted to do. It's called, the term today is expressive individualism, where this all human rights, it's my right to do what I want to do with my body. You become your own God. Anyway, quickly, Paul addresses that in Romans chapter 1. He says to them, guys, the only hope is the gospel of Jesus. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everybody. Nothing else, nothing less. Only the gospel. He saw is that. And then he says, because you're turning away and mixing these things, the wrath of God is coming. But in verse 21, Romans chapter 1, he says, although they knew God, meaning they actually had an idea of God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Please note that phrase. Although they knew God, they mixed him with other things. They didn't glorify him as God, they began to glorify other things. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. You know, sometimes we become deceived that, you know, I'm going to honor Jesus, but I need a backup plan. They became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. And when you read, by the way, it even talks about gender issues, homosexuality right there, because that is expressive individualism. Right there. Mixed spirituality always ends up in immorality. You cannot mix gods and remain sexually pure. That is just, you will, it's just, they sort of go together. Paul was also addressing this whole issue of personality cults, where human beings begin to carry that image as though they are gods and project themselves that way. Now, in the world, we have celebrities, but we also have celebrities in church who sort of pitch themselves as assistant gods. And because they're using the name of Jesus, some of us find it hard to discern. One more in the New Testament, Corinth. Paul addressed something in Corinthians. You can read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I probably won't go through much of it. But here Paul was saying, please, speaking to the church, these were spirit-filled believers. He says, you can't mix your spirituality. You can't. Learn from Israel, he says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at what they did. They mixed spirituality and ended up in destruction. And then Paul says, why are you participating in idol feasts? You know, the church in Corinth is interesting. Very spiritual, very immature. And so they were saying, this is our culture. This is our thing. So they were busy hanging out in these temples. They were practicing temple prostitution, eating feasts with the wicked, saying, those are my mates. Those are my buddies. That's why Paul says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. He warns them. But here, Paul says to them, guys, how can you come and participate in the table of the Lord and then participate in the table of demons? How do you come and take communion and immediately go and participate in the feasts of the evil ones, the pagan worship? He tells them, let me read this. He says, no, you can't do that, guys. The sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he is? Man. Now, Paul was talking about participating. You are engaged in that behavior. He's not talking about reaching out to those people. We reach out to them. We reach out to those people. But the moment you start to actively participate in what they do, makes spirituality. Because some of us have family members who are on the other side. We reach out to them. We love them. We pray for them. But we cannot participate in their practices. So how do we discern? Wow, our time is gone. But I think this is where I want to begin to land the plane. How does the Holy Spirit help us to discern mixed spirituality, especially the one which is covered in religiosity, the one of done in the name of Jesus? The other ones are easy, but this one which is almost masqueraded. Number one is the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is actually a spiritual gift that helps us to supernaturally distinguish between whether something is of God or it's of the devil. Because some things are not easy to tell. That's where the gift of discernment comes in. It's a spiritual gift. Let me tell you how that worked in the book of Acts. Let me read one space where that act, that it came through, the gift of discernment. Paul and Silas, The Bible says, Acts 16 from verse 16, once when they were going to a place of prayer, Paul says, this is actually Luke reporting. He says, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. I want you to understand that sometimes we are drawn to people that want to tell us about the future. Not all of it is of God. This girl, this slave, this lady was operating with a demonic spirit which could tell the future. The Bible says she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Is there anything wrong with what she was saying? Everything seemed right. She got fortune telling correctly. She even was saying the correct things. That's where it becomes hard to discern. Where am I? Acts 16. Oh, the page had moved. Okay. So, here she, these men are servants of the Most High God. She kept this up for many days, but finally Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." He didn't say to her, he said to the Spirit. At that moment, the Spirit left her. In other words, Paul discerned that there was something else at work in this woman. If it was today, people are looking for likes. Likes from demonic people like this. There's a man of God. Follow him. Follow. He's telling you the truth. Doing all of that. But behind it was an evil spirit. The gift of discernment worked here. Secondly, the way Holy Spirit helps us is through the gift of conscience. He speaks to our conscience. Conscience is a gift God has given to us. That inner sense that tells you, there's something not right here. Do you know how many times God does that? He speaks to us through our conscience and we ignore it. We're talking about spirit empowered discernment. Holy Spirit speaks to your conscience, says this place is not for you. Yeah. What they are doing, some of it looks like it is God, it looks spectacular, but there are other things which keep you uneasy, but you stay. The moment you keep ignoring your conscience, the Bible says it's what you get to a state where your conscience is seared. Yeah. And here's what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic word spoken about you earlier." You know, Timothy had the word of God. He had the call of God. "May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles." In other words, hey, Timothy, you have whatever you need. Cling to your faith in Christ. He's sufficient. But he also says, keep your what? Conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Number three, the gift of Scripture. This word of God is a good one to help you. Read it. The Bible says it's living and active. It will help you to distinguish. If what people are doing does not align with the Bible, run away. If the people doing it do not depict the fruit of the Spirit like is in the Bible, run away. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Finally, godly counsel. The gift of godly counsel. That's why cell is such a good thing. In cell, you get to connect with people who, if you're struggling with something, they get to advise. Do you know, as Watoto Church, our greatest attack when it comes to all this thing of mixed spirituality is not our pulpit? We protect our pulpit. Our greatest attack is in ourselves. Because Satan knows in cell is where you have safe community. And that's where some of these guys come and begin confusing ourselves. Cell leaders make sure they never come back again, shut their mouths, and they present themselves as super spiritual. They are deep. They are simply ambassadors of idolatry, covered in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, when there is no wise guidance, people fall. But in the abundance of godly counsel, there is safety. What does this mean for us, my friends? Now that we've seen the dangers of mixed spirituality, we've seen it in the Bible, how it hurts us. We've seen how we discern it, the gift of discernment and the gift of conscience, the gift of scripture and the gift of godly counsel. What does this mean for us? I want to end with this. We've seen mixed spirituality before Jesus. We've seen mixed spirituality in the early church. I want to draw us back to Jesus. Is Jesus sufficient? My friends, yes, he is. Jesus says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There is no alternative route to the Father. Jesus says, if you're so tired and weary, don't worry. Come to me. I will give you rest. You don't need any other God. Jesus says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life in its abundance. Jesus is sufficient. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.